it is not at all often that we would choose to depart from the church calendar and follow what is more of a cultural calendar. And we're not completely doing that. We understand this is the season of Epiphany, but today is also Sanctity of Life Sunday in our culture. And so we're going to combine, we have our lectionary readings, and we're going to be speaking about Jesus certainly manifesting himself to the world, but we're going to touch on those issues that surround the idea of the sanctity of life, as we are today recognizing, today, January 22nd, recognizing the 50th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. But we are going to be speaking way, way beyond the issues that surround Roe versus Wade. And so all bets are kind of off here in terms of where we're going. This is a little bit unique, and it is certainly more topical than it is exegetical. The title of the sermon is Midianite Mayhem. And I want to begin in the book of Isaiah. We had this verse read for us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. The coming of Christ was going to accomplish these ends. This is a prophecy of Isaiah long before Christ came into the world. But it's a prophecy that says that he is going to accomplish these ends. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word and the several other passages we'll touch upon, and we would ask that you would be the balm, the healer, as your word declares you as the only one who can fix what needs to be fixing. And we say that, Lord, in that macro sense, and we say it in the micro sense, in the area of our own personal lives, where there may be mayhem. And so do your work in us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Maybe you've seen it on TV. There's an explosion. There's a crash. It's normally a car crash. But there is some sort of disaster of sorts. And then you hear these words, protect yourselves from mayhem like me. Protect yourself from mayhem like me. So goes the tagline of the well-known ad campaign of the Allstate Insurance Company. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you know mayhem. He is a personification of damage and havoc and death and chaos. Today and every day, he is linked to oppression and tyranny and murder and burden and bondage. We have to remember that such were and such are the fruits of that which is demonic. Havoc, chaos, death, oppression, tyranny. Today we celebrate the antithesis of all of that. The antithesis, the polar opposite of mayhem. Because we celebrate Sanctity of Life Sunday. Isaiah 9 is about the arrival of the gospel. It's about the arrival of Jesus at the outset of his ministry. And in verse 1 here in Isaiah, it gives us the setting of that arrival of his ministry. And that setting is going to be Gentile territory. Verse 1 of Isaiah, we've had it read for us here. But as we conclude that verse, we find out that all this was taking place by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the nations, or Galilee of the pagans, or Galilee of the heathen. Matthew's gospel references this. We had that read in our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Jesus heard. Jesus goes into Galilee. He leaves Nazareth. He comes to the seacoast here. And all of this is fulfilled. Jesus is fulfilling exactly what Isaiah had prophesied about him. And he ends up saying here that he's going into the Zebulun, he's going into the land of Naphtali, he's going to the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, to Galilee of the Gentiles. And that last verse there kind of rings true. That's what Isaiah was speaking about. Gentile territory. And so we have this kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ being inaugurated, as we read about in verse 7. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so the stage is set for us. But the stage is set for us not only geographically, not only in terms of the fact that this is going to happen in a place called Galilee, where Jesus is going to reveal himself as the one who would release the people from bondage. The stage is set not only geographically, the stage is set for us symbolically. It's set for us symbolically in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. Because it's not only geographic, it's symbolic in the sense that this salvation comes, and it's going to come in a way as in the day of Midian. Isaiah 9 and 4, that what Christ would do would be to bring deliverance like the deliverance that came in the day of Midian. Complete with a deliverance that takes away burden and takes away oppression and takes away tyranny. I want you to think for a moment and think this way, that all mayhem is Midianite mayhem. All mayhem is Midianite mayhem. You know, in Proverbs 8 and verses 35 and 36, there is this antithesis. There is this polar opposites here. In verse 35, it says, Whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Think of that as sanctity of life Sunday. And then in verse 36, think about what mayhem is. It's the denial of God. All they that hate me love death. And when we use the word death here, we mean it inclusive, because it involves tyranny and oppression and the burden and havoc and damage. Verse 36 sums up mayhem. Mayhem looks like that. Mayhem looks like this. It looks like abortion. It looks like infanticide. Mayhem looks like child sacrifice. It looks like sexual perversion. It looks like bestiality. It looks like the rape and the pillage of persons, places, and things. Mayhem looks like human trafficking. Mayhem looks like the robbery and the destruction of wealth and property. Mayhem looks like the abuse and the discarding of the aged and the infirm. In Sunday school, we talk about the godless communist. Mayhem looks just like that. Where the elites can look down on a group of people, and because there is no sanctity of life, they can look at the aged and the infirmed or the crippled, and they can say to them that they are useless eaters. We must dispose ourselves of them. I submit to you that mayhem is alive and well. Mayhem makes for havoc. It makes for discord. It makes for disquietness. It makes for a party spirit. It produces cliques. It produces class warfare. Our second reading was dealing with Corinth and the divisions there. I am of Paul. I am of Cephas. This stuff can affect the church as well. Mayhem is alive and well. In the church and outside of the church. In the culture. I am of Fauci. I am of Trump. Party spirit. Division. Disquietness. Yeah, St. Paul, he was talking about division in a New Testament lesson in the city of Corinth. And so much mayhem is found both inside and outside of the church. James had to deal with it in the early church. Look at James. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, you know what? So we can look at this and we can say, you know what? Is mayhem in my house? Is mayhem in my neighborhood? Is it at my workplace? This wisdom descends not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. And get this, every evil work. When we think about mayhem, it's not just that there's confusion and that there's havoc. There is demonic forces involved. Spiritual forces. Yeah, I love the way the Proverbs puts it in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, only by pride comes contention. You go back and you see the origin of Lucifer. It's all about pride. I will, I will, I will, I will. Mayhem causes a disquietedness. We look at Proverbs 30, a couple of verses here. For three things the earth is disquieted, our lives become discombobulated. For four, which it cannot bear, where a servant, when he reigns, for a fool, when he's filled with food, for an odious woman, when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. The culture is all messed up. Our mayhem today might be more sophisticated, whereas Midianite mayhem was particularly crude and it was gross. And this is the world that the gospel came into. This is what Isaiah is talking about. This is what Matthew is referencing when Christ comes into the world. He's coming into a very dark place. This is the world of the gospel. This is the world that Jesus came into. And it is only the gospel, it is only Jesus Christ who can save even the Corinthians from chaos. And maybe your life looks a lot like Corinth. Division, strife, arguing. Only Jesus Christ can save you from that kind of mayhem. The Midianites of old were defeated by Gideon. If you don't remember the reference, of who are these Midianites that Pastor Jim is talking about? They were defeated by Gideon. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who is a greater Gideon, that's how we want to view Christ. Jesus is our only hope to defeat mayhem today. Allstate Insurance isn't going to get it done for you if you have mayhem in your life, either in your micro life or in the macro world. No insurance company is going to save us from the havoc, the damage, the destruction. That mayhem brings. Who were the Midianites? They began well enough. They started off really what we would think would be a good heritage. If we go back to Genesis 25, we see the origin of them. Again, Abraham took a wife. Remember, Sarah passes away. And I know some of you are going to get really sidetracked here because one of my dogs was named Keturah. It's true. But Abraham takes another wife, and this is Keturah. And she has a pile of kids with him. He has a pile of kids with her. And one of them is Midian. So he's got a good heritage. He begins in at least in a quasi-type way in the faith, Midian does. But it doesn't take long for things to go bad. It doesn't take long for things to get really bad. If we look at Genesis chapter 37, and we look at verse 28 first here. It's good that they're both there together. Then they're past the Midianites. These were merchant men. And this is the story of Joseph and how Joseph's brothers threw him into the pit. And some of the people who said, wait a minute, we don't want to do this waste here. Let's go sell this guy into slavery. Now, I don't know what you would call that, but today you know what we would call it? Today we would call it human trafficking, right? We get a person and we're going to sell him into slavery. That's what the Midianites were doing here. And there is this nexus between the Midianites and the Ishmaelites. And, you know, I'm not going to unpack all of that here today, but if you know anything about the Ishmaelites, the Bible tells us that every man will be against another man. There will just be all of this infighting. They'll always be destroying themselves. They were a type of mayhem as well. But the Midianites are a separate group. I think that's undeniable as we look at that here. If we go to verse 36, the Bible wants us to know very specifically and very clearly that it was the Midianites who sold Joseph into slavery. The Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar. They were the ones who were front and center, so to speak, in what we will call today human trafficking. Later on, they were involved in all sorts of idolatry. They were involved in all sorts of sexual perversion. They were a real threat to Israel. Remember, they started out kind of like children of Abraham. And so were they living the right way? And, you know, your honest-to-goodness Israelite would look at the Midianites and say, gee, maybe, you know, could we be doing that too? Or is that the right way? And so they were a threat, and yet they were involved in tremendous idolatry and sexual perversion. They were involved in Baal worship, and a part of Baal worship was to sacrifice your children unto the gods. And they were involved, and there's story after story about this, where they were involved in bringing the Israelites into sexual immorality. I want to fast forward to the book of Judges here. We're going to read more about the Midianites and the chaos, the havoc, the mayhem that they created. Fast forward to Judges, chapter 6 and verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and guess what? God sends them, even, you know, these half-breed Israelites to come and to trouble them. God delivers the Israelites into the hand of Midian 7 years. Let's go forward here. Verse 2 in this same passage. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains. And so when we read the book of Hebrews here and these saints of old, they had to hide themselves from the havoc. They had to hide themselves from mayhem, which were the Midianites. Verse 3 of this passage here. And so it was that Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and they came up against them. Let's take a look at verse 4. And they encamped against them. They destroyed. All right, this is what the Midianites do. Talk about a mayhem here. They destroyed the increase of the earth till you come unto God. They left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Nothing's left. Talk about mayhem. Let's go to the next verse, verse 4. Did I hear you verse 4? They came up with their cattle and with their tents, and they came as grasshoppers. That's the idea that there's just like hordes and hordes and hordes of them. An innumerable amount of them. And they came for as grasshoppers for a multitude, both they and their camels were without number. And this idea of camels is really important because, you know what, if you're a nomadic person or you're a pastoral person, an agricultural person, you don't have camels. And so if you're an Israelite and you're being attacked by people who are way up there on those camels, they have, the camels were a technology, a weapon that you just couldn't deal with. You could not combat them. There was no defense against the Midianites who came on their camels. And they came on their camels, and their camels were without number. And they entered the land of Israel. And these people, you know, they didn't have cars, they didn't even have horses, right? They would have an ox, maybe, but a camel? They were destroyed by the Midianites. I want you to remember that in verse 5. We'll touch on that again a little bit later. And then look at verse 6 of this passage. An Israelite was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And so I submit to you that there are Midianites in our midst that are in the process of destroying us. And they may not be literally on camels here, but they are making use of technology and things that we do not have in an earthly perspective. We do not have a defense against. But they were destroyers. And they wreaked havoc upon the people. Mayhem. And they were very easily identifiable. They were the marauders who came. You couldn't miss them. They came on the camels, right? They were real people who looked like thugs and were thugs. Easily identifiable. But today, mayhem is all dressed up. I don't know if you saw the Allstate commercial. But mayhem's got a suit on. He's very respectable, other than the bandage and the bruise and the things the havoc that he administers. He's very respectable. He's all dressed up. He's got his business suit on. He is, in some cases, mayhem today is pretty, and it's certainly professional. Perhaps we think of the executives at Planned Parenthood. Pretty and professional. They don't look like the Midianite mayhem that we see in the Old Testament. Mayhem may even look like the Pope. Who could look better? Who could look saintlier than that? And yet throughout the whole Roman Catholic world, he is wreaking havoc. But he looks pretty and professional. The uniform of a saint. How about CDC officials? How about even some? Terry, I'm not going to go on a rant about all doctors. How about some physicians who are in white coats who are leading the charge towards putting the aged and the infirm to death with assisted suicides? Not all doctors are these evil creatures and evil monsters, but they wear the white coats. And I would submit to you that we always must remember that today's rights become tomorrow's duties. I'm going to say that again. Today's rights become tomorrow's duties. What do I mean by that? Right now there is this clamoring that says, you know what? If somebody wants to have the right to die, I don't mean literally tomorrow, but I mean in the future. 20 years from now, maybe it's 50 years from now. Maybe it's more than that, but maybe it's less than that. Today's right becomes tomorrow's duty. Not only do I have the right to take my own life, but you know what? I really am a burden upon this culture, and so it's now my duty to take my own life. So that I am not a burden and I am not a useless eater. By the way, we should remember that it was the doctors who did the most heinous experiments during the Holocaust. Highly respectable people. The Dr. Fauci's of the world. Who, by the way, you don't have to look very far to find out some of the heinous things that he has done in his life. And it wasn't just with dogs. Although you could look that up. I guess a further, by the way, would be this. This is why teleology matters. And two Thursdays ago, we talked about teleology. What is the point? What is the purpose of certain things? What is the point? What is the purpose of medicine? We've lost that teleology. Something else that we've talked about in Sunday school. Take a look at Proverbs 12 and verse 10. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Now, again, I'm sure that on some levels, those professionals and executives who are all dressed up pretty and professional at Planned Parenthood, they think they're doing good. They think that they are administering tender mercy. But the tender mercies of those who are wicked are cruel. The baby's put to death. The Midianite spirit of mayhem lives in the modern world. We just don't recognize it because it's all dressed up. The Midianite spirit of mayhem lives in the modern world. How can I say that? I can say that because abortion continues. Even after the Supreme Court decision that has thrown it back to the states, it continues. Not so much with knives and the suction machines. And I understand that as a percentage, those numbers are way, way down. And so abortion continues not so much with those implements and with the suction machine, but with pills that will arrive at your door in sterile mail order packages. How neat, how convenient, how pretty, how professional. But the results are the same. The spirit and the source, the demonic source, is the same. So there remains much gospel work to do. Who among us could argue that human trafficking is on the descendancy? Not at all. Who could argue that there isn't, you know, an increasing number of death counselors? You know, I picked up this newspaper that's new to me the other day, just the other day. It's called the Epic News, and I think some of the people who run it are from communist China, some people who have escaped or are free who are now in America. But many of the articles are about China. And it is just mind-boggling the things that are happening in China. You talk about Midianite mayhem. It's front and center. And this one article, it was a feature-length article here, and it was all about forced organ harvesting and how they take their political opponents, and some of them come from religious groups, some of them come as political prisoners, and all of their organs are harvested for the leaders in the Communist Party. And there was this one article there, and you know, some of this has to be, you know, really determined to be, you know, is it really, really true? But there was this one guy who died, and they slipped up in the obituary about him, about all these replacement parts. And I'm not talking about artificial knees, and I'm not talking about artificial hips. I'm talking about organs, liver and heart and lungs and kidneys. And these came out of living, breathing people. How convenient to take care of your political and your religious enemies and just put them to death and harvest their organs. And according to one report, they have a goal that all of the people who are on the end, the elites, the political upper class in China, they have as their goal that they will live to be 150 because they have all these replacement organs. I mean, it could really make you sick reading this. It should make you sick reading this. Remember Judges chapter 6, verses 4 and 5? And those camels. Remember the Israelites, they couldn't stand before the camels because the camels were too powerful for them. Right? And they were being destroyed. Nothing was left. No sheep, no ox, no ass. They came up. They were like grasshoppers. They entered into the land to destroy it. My dad, he always used to tell me this story. And he didn't live it because he was born here in America. But he used to tell the story of the folks from the old country. And how the Turkish marauders would come and they would invade southern Poland each spring. It was like a rite of passage every springtime. The Turks would come over the border and just rape and pillage the whole landscape, taking the women, taking the livestock, wrecking the place. Every year, each spring. Do you know what happens here in America each spring? Am I the only one who understands the significance of April 15th? Where a countless horde of government agents on their high horses that we have no defense against. They're all dressed up. They come and they flood the landscape, taking for themselves the gleanings of whatever they choose. And believe me, it is whatever they choose. Who can stand against their camels, so to speak? Justice Marshall has said that the power to tax is the power to destroy. And the Supreme Court has used the authority of the 16th Amendment to give unlimited power to Congress to tax and to regulate the people for any reason whatsoever. And if you don't think that there is what this is called a progressive tax rate in America. Remember, this is 1913 when this started, the income tax, the 13th Amendment, the 16th Amendment, 1913. My goodness, what did we do before that? And the maximum was, on the wealthiest, smallest little group, 2%. Have we seen an increase? Now, gee, you know, you got to shake your head and say, well, we got these budget deficits here in this national debt, and I wonder how that's going to be paid for. When this group has unlimited power to take whatever they need, whatever they want, for whatever their purpose is. And what did we do before 1913? Now, of course, some of you may be asking, what is the point of this diatribe here today by Pastor Smith? I mean, what a grouchy old man. Did he just not have breakfast today? I wish it were that simple. And I know I focused on mayhem that is in a very macro way. But I'm not here to highlight your particular situation where the mayhem you have to deal with is in your own house, but it's still wreaking havoc, still causing damage, it's still an oppression, it's still a burden, it's still a bondage. The truth is, Midianite mayhem continues, all dressed up. And then and now it is only defeated by the gospel. The labyrinth of the government is only going to be defeated by the gospel. And the problems you have in your house are only going to be defeated by the gospel. The gospel came. Jesus, who is the greater Gideon, he came, Isaiah 9 and 4. And he came to usher in a new day of deliverance, as in the day of Midian, when mayhem in all of its forms would be defeated. The yoke of burden would be released. That weight that I carry on my shoulder every day would be taken away. The oppression that I deal with in a macro way or in a micro way, would be gone by the gospel. But here's the rub. We have rejected Jesus. And we have expelled him from our nation. And in too many cases, we have expelled him from our homes. And Midianite mayhem has simply been modernized. It'd be easy to see if somebody drove through your house riding on a camel. I hope it would be easy to see. But we don't see it. Because it has been modernized. And I simply want to submit to you that sanctity of life Sunday remains the antithesis. It remains the polar opposite of the mayhem that is destroying our lives. And so I'll conclude with this. Hear, O earth, protect yourself from mayhem. Protect yourself from mayhem the only way possible. The only way out of bondage, out of oppression, and out of mayhem. Come to Jesus. In some cases, return to Jesus. And for all of us, abide in Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, there are times and places for everything. And so, while we recognize sanctity of life Sunday here today, we also recognize that we're in the season of Epiphany and you have revealed yourself to the whole earth, even to the Gentiles, especially to the Gentiles. It was a small thing that you were able to rescue Israel, but now you have come to be a light to the Gentiles, to the heathen, to all of the nations. Father, I pray that you would be a light in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our land, in the church. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And thank you for this brief history about who the Midianites were and how, Lord Jesus, how you defeated them. And it was only you who were the answer to them. And so strengthen us in yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name.